Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. So you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia." The church here makes a turn on Jubilate Sunday this week. No one has been very interested in making for the last 50 years or more. In this world, we will have sorrow, Jesus says. Perhaps we're ready to hear that word again this year. Nevertheless, the heading for the week is not sorrow, but be jubilant. Rejoice, you who suffer. Sing out the honor of God's name. Make his praise glorious. Jesus does not say that when he sees those disciples again after his resurrection, he would take away their sorrow. He says that no one would be able to take their joy from them. Such is our Easter joy in this world. It lives side by side with sorrow. It's not a cheap happiness. It's not a buzz from too much wine or a thrill that passes. It is a confidence, a lasting, eternal joy, external joy, because it resides in Christ, who never will die again. And it does not rest in this world's things which pass away. This week is not a turn away from Easter. It's only a turn away from a shallow and saccharine Easter, which won't do. Christianity, thanks be to God, does not suffer from first world problems. So let us then pay attention to how Psalm 66 teaches us to rejoice. Come and see the works of God, how he is wondrous in his deeds toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry ground. We passed through the river on foot. He accomplished our exodus in his death and his resurrection. There did we rejoice in him who rules by his might forever. But his works are not only rescue and victory. Whose life looks like that anyway? He's also brought us into the net. He's laid affliction on our backs. He's caused men to ride over our heads, caused us to go through fire and water. And this too belongs to Easter. And to our life in this world as between his resurrection and ours at the last day. The suffering that we face, like the joy that we sing and pray, it's complex. We want it to be simple. We want it to be too simple. The world has its own simple answer, always. They say that suffering is bad, period. It's probably a good reason to deny God, to rather just put all of our trust in ourselves to solve our own problems. Well, but we Christians find in suffering the deepest connection to the God who's come into our flesh to suffer for us. We're not unique because we suffer. Our Lord's works, terrible or otherwise, fall on the heathen and the saint alike. But we are unique in how we suffer as Christians. We address our complaints to God in lament and in faith. We pray to him. We praise him even in the midst of suffering as well. And we even count it a joy to suffer. And our hymns, like the Psalms, recall what the Lord's hand sent to us, even in Easter. The Christian gives a name to his or her suffering. We call it a cross. Now, that's not an idle or simple cognitive readjustment. This is a serious practical theology. The Lord who holds our soul in life has entered into our death in order to do it. In his cross, he draws the world to himself. In our sufferings, then, our crosses, he will do the same. The promises of the Scripture are many. He chastens, like a father does, for our good. He presses us to cling to Him alone and to turn us in love toward our neighbor. He tries us. He proves us, as Psalm 66 says. And He works all things together for good, as St. Paul says. But whatever the appearances of any particular cross, no matter the unknown reasons or complexities of our suffering that we just can't pin down, this stays the same. Jesus lives, and He gives a joy that no one can take from us. Now, to hold those truths together means that our view of Easter joy is going to have to become deeper than it might be just in the good times. The psalmist, after passing through fiery trials, offers the sacrifices that he had promised to the Lord when he was in trouble. Whether or not they were uttered back then as bargains with God, they are not that now. He extols what the Lord has done for him, and he blesses the Lord who did not and does not turn His steadfast love and mercy away from us. You see, the psalmist's joy is the joy of one who does not have to atone for his sins by his suffering. And that is the heart of our Christian joy also, dear saints. Christ keeps your soul among the living. He does not allow your feet to be moved. He hears your prayers. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for Aaron McKenzie, who serves the Lord in the Dominican Republic. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.